Good morning. Good morning again. Welcome. We may be few this morning, but we're raucous. Welcome during this wet, sleety, little snowy morning here in Galax, Virginia. We welcome those of you who are with us online, on social media, on the radio, any visitors this morning. Welcome. We are glad you are here. You know, early this morning, John Adams and I were trying to make the decision, and it was just wet early, 7 o'clock this morning. And so we're glad you are here. We know the conditions have worsened a little bit. So if you're with us online this morning, we are thankful to have you with us as well. Just a few announcements as we begin our service this morning. One, as you know, we had our chili fundraiser, and so for those who have not picked up their chili yesterday, we have your chili back in the fellowship hall. Those of you who are here who have not picked it up, just see Linda in the fellowship hall. We have it ready for you to be picked up. If you were planning on picking it up today and you're not able to make it because of the weather, we'll have it for you tomorrow. Just come by the office, and the girls will get it for you. We thank you for that. I've sold, I'd say, about 125 quarts. I made 32 gallons of chili over this weekend, and so we thank you for supporting this for our children and for camp. Tonight there are no children and youth. Tomorrow night there's no Bible study. I'm leaving hopefully this afternoon for Lynchburg for a preaching conference at Eagle Lowry. I'll be back Tuesday afternoon. This month, March 26, 7 o'clock, our choir will be presenting a Easter program, and so we hope you can make it Sunday night, March 26 at 7 p.m. What I did not get to announce last Sunday, but if you've probably seen it online, it was all over Facebook and social media, there is a benefit fundraiser for Jacob Holderfield and the family, April 29th. That is a Saturday, and it's from 12 to 6-ish. And so tickets are $10, and the raffle tickets are great because there's three prizes you could win. It's a mower that I think the value is around $8,000-$9,000 mower. You can win a grill. You can win a gift certificate to a local gun shop. And then they got all kinds of things going on that day. There's a cruise-in for trucks and cars. There's going to be food vendors there. There's going to be other vendors there as well. There's going to be live music from 1 to 5. We're going to have silent auction items going on all afternoon, a live auction at 5. And then when the live auction ends, then there'll be the actual drawing of the raffle tickets after that. The tickets are in the office. And so we want to encourage you. It's a great day. You don't have to be present to win. And it's a great day to help the family with expenses and let Jacob and the family know how much we love them. Two other announcements. One, we are beginning to improve our nursery. We added new flooring to the nursery. Now we need new furniture. If you have not been in our nursery and you look at the furniture and the items there, they probably were donated back when the church was built. So, you know, that's one of the first stops for new families, new visitors with small children is our nursery. And, you know, we really want it to be screaming welcome and for our workers to have what they need to facilitate that. And so we have a separate designated item in our budget that Marie has put together for the nursery, and we're looking at purchasing new furniture and other items, pack and plays and things for the nursery. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, just get with Marie or Barbara in the office and they can help you with that. And lastly, as again, thank you with the Chili fundraiser. Our kids are going to camp June 5th through 9th at Ridgecrest. Again, if your child would like to go, please call the church office and we'll get them signed up. This is for those who have finished second grade through those who have finished sixth grade. My goal is at the end of this month is to talk with our youth and decide what we're going to do for missions. We could go that same week. The campus is so large, they split the kids, and they're running both that week. But we're also looking at something also in Lynchburg as well, and maybe Kentucky. So just keep those items in mind as we're preparing this summer for mission opportunities for our children and youth. With that said, let us prepare our hearts this morning. And those with us who are online on the radio, prepare our hearts as we are here to worship our Lord and Savior, to praise our Lord and Savior, to thank our Lord and Savior for loving us so much, his willingness to die on the cross for us. Let us take that time now. Thank you.
stand and sing.
As we enter into this third Sunday of Lent, we remember the events that led up to the crucifixion. Jesus had come to bring hope and light into the world. But at every step, there were those who could not accept the power of his light. He brought grace and forgiveness, but these gifts were often rejected by those filled with great love for other things. We read in the Gospel of Mark, as Jesus was going on his way, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Do not cheat. respect your mother and father. Teacher, said the man, ever since I was young, I've obeyed all of these commandments. Jesus looked straight at the man with love and said, you only need one more thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor. And you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me. Well, when the man heard this, gloom spread over his face. It was as if his face had fallen. And he went away sad because he was very rich. When Jesus spoke the truth, there were those who could not face its light and they turned away. Every time one of these turned away, a little of the light that had come into the world was put out. Let us pray. Father, we can't begin to thank you enough because there's nothing we can do on our own. We've all fallen short. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes, continue to make mistakes. And yet your son came into this world humbly and humiliated with grace and love and forgiveness wrapped for each and every one of us. As we draw closer to the events that led to his crucifixion and that bring us to Resurrection Sunday, we ask that you be with us and that we incline ourselves and desire our hearts to be with you. We thank you for Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's stand. My Savior speaking from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make it whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasures earthly things offer. But none can match my wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Of a million angels could not express my my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, glory to God, be the glory to God, be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me I gave any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
This morning on this third Sunday here during the Lenten season, we're going to look in Exodus chapter 17, John chapter 4, and I titled this morning's message, Testing. And we're going to look how often the children of Israel had tested the Lord, and how the woman at the well this morning was being tested, and how often do we, whether we realize it or not, test our Heavenly Father. You see, the Israelites found themselves in a similar position over and over again as they were journeying through the wilderness, as they were not able to go into the promised land because they did not believe and trust God at His word. And so they found themselves over and over again with several unique needs on their journey: clean drinking water, food, and guidance. And so, if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 17. We're going to look at the first seven verses. Now the entire Israelite community left the wilderness of Sin, moving from one place to the next according to the Lord's command. They camped at Rephidim, but there's no water for the people to drink. So the people complained to Moses, "Give us water to drink." "Why are you complaining to me?" Moses replied to them. "Why are you testing the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water and grumbled against Moses. And they said, "Why did you ever bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? In a little while they will stone me." And the Lord answered Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take the staff you struck in the Nile with in your hand and go. I'm going to stand there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. And when you hit the rock, water will come out of it and the people will drink." Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah because Israelites complained, because they tested the Lord saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Now, the people needed clean water. they needed water to drink, but their level of hostility towards God and towards Moses was increasing. This was similar if we go back two chapters in Exodus. In chapter 15, they were experiencing the same crisis at Marah that led them to complain to Moses, their leader. And in this miraculous act, God instructed Moses to throw a tree into undrinkable water, making the water then safe for consumption. So here we are, two chapters later, and we find the people and Moses in a similar predicament. And you would think, after all of this time, after all the miracles God performed to get them out of Egypt, that they would trust him explicitly. But we find here yet again, the people are complaining, they're grumbling, they don't trust in the Lord, and they say over and over again, did you bring us out here to kill us? And at this time, did you bring us out here to kill us with thirst, as you see there? Why? Isn't it funny how we can sit here and read this and say, I can't believe the people of Israel are like this. I would have believed God. I would have never questioned him. I always said, well, Lord, I know you're going to provide us with water. Where are you going to do it? But we don't say that, do we, often? When we find ourselves in such a situation, it is easy to forget the goodness of God and how God has shown up in our lives throughout the years. And we revert back to where we find these children of Israel continually to test the Lord. You know, when Jesus was being tempted, we read in Matthew chapter 4, as Satan was coming at him with the word of God, Jesus says, he says, it's also written, do not test the Lord your God. Well, Paul talks about this incident in Exodus and testing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. We're going to start with the first five. Paul says to the church in Corinth, he says, I want you to know, brothers, that the fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, he's making reference to the nation of Israel traveling through the wilderness. He says that they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So Jesus was very much present during this Exodus experience. And he says, but God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the desert. And this is what we're going to look at here in just a second. But their continuous testing, their continuous contempt, they did not believe in the Lord. They kept questioning him. They kept doubting him. And the biggest part was when God told them to go take the promised land into Canaan, and they saw the large men there and the warriors, and they crumbled, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua. The 10 spies and the rest of the nation followed suit and did not believe Joshua and Caleb, and ultimately they didn't believe the Lord. And so they sat there in the wilderness, and that generation ended up dying because of their lack of belief and their lack of trust, and they never entered the promised land. And so Paul brings this description up, and he mentions Christ, and he mentions that we need a spiritual drink, that we need something more than just physical needs, and you see there Christ is referenced, because Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we find here that he continues in chapter 10, explaining the things that happened in this Exodus travel and experience. If you look in verse 6, he says, you know, these things became examples for us. So he's lining up everything that happened with the children of Israel to become examples for us, what to learn from, what to do, what to not do. Because he says, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. Don't become idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. These people sat down to eat and drink and they got up to play. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some did. And in a single day, 23,000 people fell dead in the wilderness because of what? Their immorality to commit sexual sins. That should be very important to our culture today, that it's still very important to God. Let us not test Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes. You should read that in this experience. Nor should we complain, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroyer. So, are there any complainers out here this morning? I'm looking at you. It says right here. You know, I had in a restaurant back in South Hill. It's no longer there. Unfortunately, it's burned to the ground. But the owner had a sign right there when you walk into the restaurant. And it was hysterical. It said, no complaints on any day ending in Y. You get that? No complaints with any day ending in Y. I always had mine was always no complaint Thursday, because my day off was Friday and I didn't want to hear it on Thursday. But here, no one should complain. They were killed. Right, but this complaint, I mean, I know tongue in cheek here, but their complaints were they didn't trust God. We just heard, they were grumbling and complaining to Moses. Verse 11, now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written as a warning to us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation is overtaking you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he'll also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it. You see, our greatest need, folks, in this world is for our sins to be forgiven. Our greatest need is to have Jesus Christ in our life so that what? We can fellowship with God for all of eternity. Our greatest need is to understand what we need, and what we need most of all is our spiritual need for Jesus Christ. He's the one that forgives. He's the one that makes us righteous. And I love the line in the hymn we sang that if I get any praise, may it go to Calvary. I don't know if I've ever seen that before in that hymn, but it jumped off the screen this morning at me. If I receive any praise for what I do in the name of the Lord, may it what? Go to Calvary. Well, with that as the backdrop, and this whole thing with water and thirst, I want to take us to John chapter 4. And we're going to read the majority of this. Now, the first part, we're just going to read through it, with the story of the woman at the well. Now, I could paraphrase this if you want. I can make it shorter if you want. But as reading this and studying this week, I really want us to just see the story as it was written by John for us, for those that towards the end of the first century in the Christian community. And so here we go, John chapter 4. When Jesus knew that the Pharisee heard he was making and baptizing more disciples than John, though Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went again to Galilee. He had to travel through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the property that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Let me just say briefly that this was not a normal way to travel, the way Jesus was traveling. As Jews left Jerusalem, he chose to go through Samaria. This was atypical for a Jew. The usual route they would take is they would go to Jericho, then they would follow the Jordan River back to Galilee. So this was very atypical for a Jew to travel this way, but we'll see why Jesus traveled this way. And he did it for a purpose, and he did it for a reason. And unfortunately, his disciples completely missed the boat. And this is where we need to insert ourselves as well into this story. So in verse 6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, worn out from his journey, he sat down at the well. And this is important. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her. For his disciples had gone into town to buy food. Now, what you need to understand is most women would go out in the morning to get water for the day. This woman decided to go out at 6 o'clock at night, which is very strange. And his disciples, when they got there, decided we're going into town because we're hungry and we're going to get food for us. And so then the woman says to Jesus, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan? I'm a woman. For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. Ever. In fact, the water I give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to come to draw water. Go call your husband, he told her, and come back here. I don't have a husband, she answered. You have correctly said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said. For you've had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you said is true. Sir, the woman replied, I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, yet you Jews say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus told her, believe me, woman, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know because salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. I am he, Jesus told her, the one speaking to you. What you need to understand is, this is something I think we often overlook, that when Jesus says that the Father must be worshipped in spirit and truth, how can you worship the Father if you haven't been born again? How can you worship the Father if spiritually you're still dead? How can you worship the Father if you've not been forgiven of your sins through repentance and the blood of Christ on the cross? So anybody who's worshiping God out there outside of Jesus Christ isn't really truly worshiping the God of the Bible. Because they can't. Jesus says emphatically, you must worship in spirit and you must worship in truth. And now this woman believed. She knew the Messiah was coming. She believed in the coming Messiah. And Jesus says there, when in verse 26, if this was in the Hebrew, it would be Yahweh. The word I am is reference for Yahweh, the proper name of God that is not spoken. So when Jesus says to her, I am he, he told her that Yahweh, the one speaking to you. So now we're at this point that Jesus shows himself to this woman he should not be having a conversation with. It is socially unacceptable for a man to speak to a woman at the well, to be doing it at 6 o'clock, and for a Jew speaking to a Samaritan woman. All of this is out of bounds. And here we find Jesus doing this. Now let's pick up what happens when the disciples show up. Just then the disciples arrived, verse 27. And they were amazed that he was talking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you want or why are you talking with her? All right, they were blown away just for the reasons I just told you. They come back from town with the provisions and they see Jesus speaking to this woman at the well and they could not believe it. Oh my gosh, what is he doing? Has he lost his mind? Does he not understand that this is not right? But no one dared say a word to what was going on. Then the woman left the water jar, went into town and told the men. So she, after receiving word that she had just run into the Messiah, she leaves. She leaves why she showed up there in the first place. She drops the water jar. And she hightails it back to the town to start telling people that she had come in contact with the Messiah. And she says to them in the town, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? I mean, think about this. What if we had run into Jesus? Man, if somebody started unfolding everything I had done, oh my gosh. I'd say, don't tell my parents, right? She believed and ran and told. Notice what the disciples did. They left the town and made their way to him. So they're coming to Jesus, the town. And notice what the disciples do. In the meantime, the disciples kept urging him, Rabbi, eat something. Eat something. Not even concerned about what just trapped. I mean, think about this. This woman drops her water jar for the reason she's there, and she hightails it back to town. Something happened, right? Not one question. Here, Jesus, eat a sandwich we just got for you. Totally oblivious and clueless. But he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. All right, he's taking them to a spiritual level from a physical reality of hunger. I have food to eat that you do not know about. But the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Did somebody go through a drive-thru and slip him in the meal while we were gone? I mean, absolutely oblivious to what's going on at this point. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, Jesus told them. My will is to do what? What God the Father has sent me to do. And that is to die on the cross for you and for I. That is why Jesus came. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Remember when he was being tempted. Man must not live on bread alone, right? After 40 days of fasting and Satan's telling him to turn these stones into loaves of bread. But Jesus says man must live on what? The word of God. And here he is, the word of God, to finish the work of God. Jesus taught them to prioritize God's mission of expanding the kingdom above earthly purposes, above earthly needs. He goes on to say then, don't you say there are still 4 more months, then comes the harvest? He goes, listen to what I'm telling you. Open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready for harvest. So at this time, the town is coming back to this well. And Jesus is showing them, look what's going on in front of you guys. The reaper is already receiving pay and gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one who sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you did not labor for. Others have labored and you have benefited from their labor. Now many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me everything I ever did. So the people believed on her testimony of Jesus. Therefore, when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said. So now Jesus went back to the town, and what? He finished the deal. He closed the deal. And then in verse 42, and they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said. For we've heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world. See, when we go out and share Christ with people, hopefully we do it in such a way that they can sense that we are sincere, we're honest, we've experienced, we're truthful, and we care. Right? And then when they call out to Jesus, they will find themselves in the same place as the town. Now we no longer believe because of your testimony, we believe because we have run into the living God, and his name is Jesus Christ. You see, the primary point Jesus was trying to make to his disciples is that they must be spiritually minded in order to be of true earthly good. What good are we if we are not spiritually minded, if we are not kingdom minded as believers? What are we doing to our fellow brothers and sisters in this world as human beings if we are not spiritually minded? Yes, we feed the poor. Do we just feed the poor so they won't be hungry until their next meal without hope of eternity? We just bought them what? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, and that's it. Till they're hungry again, right? See, the world's need for the gospel and the high potential for saving faith compels us to be joyfully, willingly on mission to all people at all times, even when their earthly needs seem more compelling. Yes, we help their earthly needs. That's how we get an entrance in. I remember back in South Hill when we decided to start a soup kitchen. We had a lot of pushback. Anybody know why people in the church would not want that going on in the church? Anybody? Come on. Yep, that's one. Yeah, really? Have at it. They might steal something. They're not like us. What else? They might trash the place. I'm like, really? We're really going to be that kind of a mindset that we won't try to help people and feed them spiritually as we feed them a bowl of soup and a sandwich? I mean, do you really think we're going to open the doors and there's going to be no supervision? Of course we're not going to let the church get trashed. Of course we're going to try to make sure they don't steal anything. But what's more important? Eternity. That's what hangs in the balance. That's why we exist. That's why we've come together as a community of faith. Right? Why? So we can learn, we can grow, we can love, and we can go out these doors and share this with those who do not know. How did Jesus witness? I mean, this is a perfect illustration here in John chapter 4 of how Jesus witnessed. Right? He goes a different route to go where he's going on purpose. And he runs into this woman at the well who shouldn't have been there in the first place. And what did Jesus do? He was friendly. He asked her for a drink. And then he shared with her the truth of God's word. And then he shared with her the truth about him. He asked questions. He showed concerns for her human need. And he emphasized good news to thirsty people. But, you know, we're not responsible for converting people. You know that, right? But we are responsible for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. If somebody doesn't want to receive it, that's on them. If they reject it, they're indifferent to it, they don't want to take the time or pay attention, nothing we can do about that. But we are called to share. And the way Jesus shows us here is the way we really need to think about how we're going to share the gospel with Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ. And never underestimate the miraculous power of God. I want to share with you a story as I close this morning. I was at a concert, and this was in 1994. First Assemblies of God in Winston. Has anybody been there? Just down the mountain? Well, I was deciding that I was at a point in my life, I was deciding whether or not to stay in a Baptist church or to go to Assemblies of God church. I was young and had hair back then. And, you know, you got your typical Baptist church, and then you got something more of a charismatic church with, you know, the band and all that stuff. And so as a young person at the age of 26, I was trying to decide where I wanted to go. So I would go to the Baptist church, Walnut Cove First Baptist, in the morning, and worship in Sunday school. And then in the evening, I would go to the Assemblies of God for their Sunday evening service. And so I kind of did that for 2 to 3 months. But one of the interesting things, it was on a Sunday night, we had a special missionary evangelist come and put on a concert that night. Now, this gentleman was doing ministry overseas, but he was from the States, and he was a Native American Indian, okay? And he was phenomenal. Boy, he can make the keyboard sing. But he shared his testimony that night as well. And I remember sitting here, so this is what, 29 years ago? And he said that his mother on the reservation was raped. And it was by another family member, all right? A heinous act. Most people would say in our culture today, well, you know, the mother should abort the baby, right? Because it was through a horrible act of rape. And I've heard that a lot. You know, in those situations, you know, it was forced upon her. She didn't ask for it. The mother decided with much turmoil, anguish of what to do, and listening to outside voices, she decided to have this child. But the child grew up, and this young man accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And through his gift of music and the fire in his belly, he went back to the reservation and back to his family, and he witnessed. Do you know that over 50 people on the reservation accepted Christ because of his testimony? A child where it was on the cusp of being aborted, God used to save the majority on the reservation, and how many more lives through his ministry of music in the States and overseas. That is what we're called to do. That is called us offering living water as we give them a bottle of Aquafina. So I want to encourage you this morning, let us not be like the Israelites. And let us not be like those in the early churches. And let us not be like those today where we test God continuously because we're never quite sure of his goodness or if he'll show up or he can change circumstances or he can fix circumstances. Because we must be spiritually minded and kingdom minded to be any earthly good. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your words this morning. I thank you for the scriptures. I thank you that you gave us a blueprint and a guidance on how to witness. You know, we read the scriptures and Jesus always was so friendly to the least of those. He showed compassion to those who were missing the mark. He was willing to engage sinners and saints. He was willing to dine with the tax collector and the whore. He was willing to engage the Pharisees and Sadducees in conversation. He was willing to grab the rich young ruler and share with him that he needed one more thing, and that was to worship the Lord as he continued to live out the commandments. And so, Father, help us, especially in trials and testing, that we do not diminish or question your goodness, but we jump into your lap with all the faith and assurance we need to let our culture know, to let the Twin Counties and the city of Galax know how wonderful and special you are. We praise this morning, and we thank you for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we stand for our closing song, I want to encourage you this morning, our altar is open for prayer. If you want to join our church or accept Christ as your Savior, you have not done that, I encourage you for that this morning. For those who are listening on the radio, those who are watching online, I want to encourage you right where you are. You can reach out to us through so many means if you'd like to get in touch with us. Please stand for our closing hymn. Savior's name. Jesus paid it all. John, we thank you so much for leading us this morning. Wendy will be back next week. And, you know, if you weren't able to make it this morning, we were talking about keeping the podium mic off, and I would have to lead in singing. Oh, poor Wendy would never be able to take a Sunday off again. Wendy, I hope you're listening. So thank you for coming out this morning. We know the roads weren't the best. We appreciate you online with us on the radio. As we go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.